you're hearing a classic recording of Body and Soul by jazz saxophonist John Coltrane. And we're listening to Coltrane as we consider, of all things, pronouns. A strange pairing, it would seem, but they come to connect in a play centering on what at first seems like a strange pairing, a play about connecting, about human connection. So now, the pronouns. Joseph Coulson asks in his essay, The Poem is the Body, how do we begin to study Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman? The length and breadth alone are intimidating, but the insistent defiance of structure, its shifts in mood and point of view, and the author's admitted contradictions often leave readers anxious yet delighted. Whitman demands a commitment from his anonymous audience. He asks the reader to enter a personal relationship with him, a relationship that combines a semblance of physical union and an intense spiritual intimacy. This demand, of course, alienated many of Whitman's contemporaries and may continue to alienate readers today. In the opening lines of Song of Myself, Whitman confronts the reader and, in effect, all of humanity. I celebrate myself and sing myself, and what I assume, you shall assume. For every atom belonging to me, as good belongs to you. These lines establish an essential relation between writer and reader, between writer and text, and among writer, reader, and cosmos. The associations, like vines from the same root, intertwine and grow in complexity, as Whitman, through the triad of pronouns, I, myself, you, creates and nurtures what may be the only existing structure in the poem. Specifically, I is Whitman, you is the reader, and myself is the shifting, ambiguous unity of body, soul, which for Whitman is the poem. Whitman not only pulls the reader in, but he asks the reader to commit her or his self, soul, to the narrator's, that is Whitman's, self, soul. In other words, just as we are one with nature and the universe, so are we one with each other. The I and the you we've just heard about in Coulson's essay give us the title of an award-winning play by Lauren Gunderson, I and You. Lauren Gunderson is a critically acclaimed American playwright whose work is being seen in all corners of the country. I and You opens tonight at the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble, co-directed by James Good and Richie Canaday. The production features BTE 2017-2018 season interns, and they are Draylen Gore and Brianna Kifolo. We had a chance to speak by phone with James Good and Dre and Bree, and they were preparing for opening night, BTE founding ensemble member James Good.
This season, the 2017-2018 season, is the 40th season for the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble. So it's quite a milestone, really, and we're midway through the season. So far, we've produced The Diary of Anne Frank and A Christmas Carol, and they've been wonderful productions, well-received. Really, the response and the sales have been tremendous. We're now going into a period where we're doing our intern project, and it's called I and You by Lauren Gunderson, and it's a wonderful new play. She is probably the most produced playwright in America at the moment. I mean, if you take out Shakespeare and probably Christmas Carol, her plays are being done all around, and we're just delighted that we selected this show of hers for this season to showcase our interns. It's a great, great piece for them, for two young actors.
This is a banner year for you because of the anniversary, mm-hmm. and you could have picked any plays that you wanted to do. What is it about Lauren as a playwright that you said, yeah, this is it, we've got to do it?
She has a number of themes that are interesting to her when you look at her whole list of work. Some of the plays have a very scientific interest, and other plays, she's taken Shakespeare and reworked his plays with a modern sensibility. This play kind of falls kind of in between that, because there is a bit of a scientific nature to the play. There's also a literary aspect to the play, in that the play involves two high school students working on a project about Walt Whitman. So his poetry comes up in the play. And her plays can get very profound and then kind of, I don't want to say not exactly silly, but playful. And it just morphs back and forth between these two worlds very realistically in this play, naturally. But then it has a very interesting, unexpected twist at the end. So it sort of satisfies a lot of things that we look for in plays, in that it's very intelligently written. It calls upon the audience to really use their imagination in a theatrical way. And I also think that this being a 40th anniversary year, we're looking for ways to bring in new audiences and younger audiences, and this is absolutely a play that appeals to young folks.
Jim, without tipping the hand, because you mentioned there's a twist at the end, can you give us a little bit more about the storyline?
Absolutely. The play involves two high school students, Carolyn and Anthony, who are working on a project about Walt Whitman. Now, Caroline has an illness that has kept her out of school. It's her senior year in high school, and she hasn't been able to go to class, although she keeps up with her work. And coming by her house on this day is Anthony, who's a basketball player, a very good student, and they don't know each other, really. So they've been put together on this project, and over the course of the play, they get to know each other, we get to know them, we find out what they want in their lives, what they're afraid of in their lives, and then, as I say, there's a really heart-wrenching, unexpected ending, which is at once delightful and happy and very, very sad. All at once, you know, I mean, that's high school.
And as director, you have one set. Is that the idea of this? Are we in Caroline's bedroom?
Yes, there's one location, Caroline's room, and it's a high school room, you know, full of her mementos, and she's not expecting anyone to come over, so the room's kind of messy. And since she's been unable to go to school, there's a bit of technology in the room. You know, her phone and computer and things like that are important parts of the play, how she interfaces with her technology.
Now, we might, for some plays, suggest that the confined space is important to the theme. Is the confined nature of the setting important to the theme, or metaphorical in some way?
Well, Erica, that's a great question, because the room has also a second meaning, which I can't really divulge. But they are confined to the room to get this project done. And I think the Walt Whitman poetry prepares us for something larger. You know, the Song of Myself, the excerpts that they read, I think will prepare the audience for something larger to happen to these young people.
Oh, you're tantalizing us, Jim.
Oh, the play is wonderful that way, in that the way Lauren works in the poetry and what they're learning about the poetry, it's just really quite masterful. And as someone who's read some Whitman, but I don't know all that much about him, I just get delighted hearing the poetry and seeing what poetry means to people.
Is there any incidental music, or does music come up at all in their conversation? Because we know music is often so important to young people.
Each of the young folks they talk about their music, what they like, and they play music for each other. But yeah, I think you'd be surprised what these two young people like. It's not exactly today's top 40s, I'd say. And they're nodding at me, so they agree with that.
Do you want to put Bree and Dre on?
Okay, here's Bree.
Hi.
Hi, Bree. Before we get into the specifics of the play, we should ask you how you think about theater in your life. If it is something that you want to make as your life's work?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I look forward to furthering my career in that, absolutely.
Acting, directing, all kinds of things, or are you really an actor?
Oh, the whole shebang. I like writing, I like directing, but I think foremost I'm an actress. But directing is definitely something that I look forward to exploring more in the future.
Tell us about your reaction to Carolyn as a character. Are you drawn to her? Do you understand her?
Yeah, I definitely understand her. I mean, there's a lot going on that I could never experience in my life, but she's very sassy and stubborn and bold and headstrong, which is something I can definitely connect to. But she has a lot underneath these walls that she builds up as who she is. And behind that is a very real high school girl dealing with a lot of different issues all at once. Yes. Everything from, you know, being out of school to her illness to family issues. So it was fun to come into that, to see where she's struggling and where she finds the light and everything.
And this new friendship is part of helping her wrestle with these issues?
Yeah, she definitely hasn't experienced anything like Anthony before, because he comes in and immediately doesn't back down. She tries to scare him away. She tries to push him out, just tries to make him leave. And as you know, she's probably used to people just backing away because she's sick, so they don't want to upset her. But this guy won't leave. And to have that, I think, helps her break down those walls, and she becomes very vulnerable in his presence.
And how about the poetry? Does that bring them together, struggling with what Whitman is writing about?
Yes, definitely. She says she hates poetry with verve, and he's very much into Whitman. So there's that roadblock between the two of them. But as they, you know, start to break down their walls, that roadblock becomes less of a problem and more of a way into their blossoming friendship.
Just personally for you, have you been drawn to poetry in your life?
Yes, I love poetry. I'm a big fan of the Romantic era, so like Keats and Byron and Shelley. I love that kind of poetry, so yeah. So it's hard to hate poetry on stage when I find it fascinating off stage.
Is part of it just the beauty of the language, and I bet you love to say it out loud?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Just the way that one line of poetry can change the entire air around you when you say it, so it's very delightful.
What's the difference in age between Carolyn and you in terms of number of years?
So Carolyn is 17, and I will be 24 on this Sunday. So it's a bit of a difference.
What do you have to take into consideration as an actor to accommodate that difference?
I think one of the big things is to not play a stereotype of a teenager. You know, I think as older we get, we all see teens as just very sassy and very headstrong, which she is, but not to play that stereotype of being a teenager and to really find who she is under all of that.
I asked Jim about the music in the play, and if it doesn't give anything away about the plot, can you tell us a little bit about the music that Carolyn enjoys?
So we see two songs from her, really. We see a more pop song at the beginning as the show starts, and then she has a certain song that means a lot to her that is older and not very, very hard to talk about it without saying it. It's not what today's music is like, but it used to be very popular.
Did you know Lauren Gunderson's work before this?
Yeah, she's actually one of my favorite playwrights. One of her other plays, Silent Sky, which is about a female astronomer, is one of my favorite things, and I'm very drawn to the way that she writes, not only just her dialogue, but her stage directions are very real and alive, and they tell a whole other story that the audience won't ever know, but the actors themselves can use to bring that story alive, and I'm very much in love with her writing.
Now, did you work with Dre at Bloomsburg?
Yes, we did. We were in a lot of classes together. We were in shows together. We played opposite together in the Rocky Horror Show, which was just amazing. So it's really fun to be able to play opposite each other in a completely different setting.
Well, it's his turn now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Dre. Bree was just telling me that you and she did work together when you were both students at Bloomsburg. Does that help you going into this in this way, having already some sense of each other as actors?
Oh, it definitely does. In the show, the Rocky Horror Show, I played Dr. Frankenfurter, and Bree played Janet. And so that's a totally different relationship that those two characters had compared to Anthony and Caroline on stage. So I definitely prefer having Rocky Horror and then coming into this, because our comfort level is great. It's like we're friends already, but with Anthony and Caroline, it's kind of like recreating a new friendship of meeting someone for the first time, not getting along at first, and then just slowly growing to know each other and getting to know each other, likes, dislikes, and then ending up being friends as Anthony and Caroline, and then me as Dre and Bree. It's really cool. It's cool to end the play the way it does.
Now, are you making theater your life's work? Is that what you're hoping?
Well, my life's work is, I'm a multi-talented artist. So besides acting, I'm a choreographer as well as a dancer, a singer, songwriter, slam poet. I also write poetry as well. And just very into art in general. So what I plan to do with my platform is to not only act, but use my musical talents as well to branch out to a large community as an African-American male who is also open about his sexuality, as well as his femininity, being a feminist activist as well. So I got my work cut out for me, but I love art. I love doing all of it. And I just like to live day by day and create something new every day.
And so if you're a poet yourself, you must love this play.
I really do. I got into poetry from my mother because she's also like, she loves art as well. And she also got me into theater from just watching her do theater when she went to college in Philadelphia. But when I was introduced to this play, I read enough of Walt Whitman in school, but not enough to be very drawn to his words and like what he was saying. And so this play really not only opened me up to a new playwright, but also to a poet, which all of humanity loves. So it was really awesome to have read Leaves of Grass and to just see how it's just a masterpiece. And then how that works into the play is just a treat.
So Lauren, as a playwright, is really able to do that weaving well, and it doesn't feel like something that is an overlay.
No, it doesn't. It fits. It's like a puzzle, and all the puzzle pieces fit. And with the stanzas that she takes from Whitman, it doesn't take you out of the play. It just makes you dive deeper into it, because it's like his poetry hints you more of what's going on during the play and what you're about to be in store for as the play progresses towards the end. And it's just the poetry and how the wording of Whitman, how she uses it, it just fits, the icing on the cake.
Do we actually hear the poem where the phrase I and you comes from?
I and you. Well, the project is about pronouns. Whitman uses pronouns during In Song of Myself. The poem that he wrote is basically like a song to himself, but the meanings of the poem shift because of the way he uses I to refer to himself, or you to refer to you as in the reader, and then we as in all of us. It's hard to describe, but the title fits. It does, because it's from Caroline's point of view, she is the I and I am the you. From my point of view, I am the I and she is the you. And when we talk about the play and when we're doing our project, that comes up a lot, where we're always referring to I as Walt will refer to himself as I, and then we say you to each other as if Walt was talking to someone else. So it really blends together.
Now, I asked Bree about an age difference. She said there was quite an age difference between her character and herself. You're out of your teens, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm 23. With Anthony, I would say there is an age difference because I don't eat as much Pop-Tarts as Anthony would. I also didn't play basketball, but I did dance, so I'm not sure if our physical fitness would be the same. But Anthony is very mature for his age, which is why he is able to stand up to Caroline and her personality. And although she has a strong mind and heavily opinionated and just get out of my room, he's mature enough to see through that tough exterior and see through her, but be able to understand where she's coming from and to ease the tension by just saying, hey, I get it. I understand. I'm just here to help. That's all. And I think that's very mature of Anthony to do that, because anybody would just leave with how Caroline comes off in the beginning of the play. Anybody would. I would. But Anthony just sticks, he just stands his ground, and he's there to support Caroline, because in the end, he is actually on Team Caroline, which is a line mentioned in the show. But that's all I'll give. That's all I'll give away.
Let me ask you, is there a racial theme to the play as well?
Well, the description is that Anthony is to be played by an African-American male, but it is open to other males of color to play Anthony. But in terms of the racial difference of the show, honestly, it's not so much that because Anthony is an African-American male
that he doesn't get along with Caroline. In fact, there's a certain point in the play where Caroline is about to tell him something, and she's like, I don't think you'll like it because it's kind of like white people. And Anthony's like, it's okay. I like white people. It's fine. Tell me about yourself. I don't care who you are, what your sexuality is, what your race is. Anthony wants to know who Caroline is. He doesn't see her race first. He sees who she is, and he wants to dig deep into who she is, not so much on what's on the outside. And Caroline, in her own way, she doesn't, well, not really sure at first, because she is kind of scared at first when I just pop in out of nowhere, but not so much because of random African-American male. It's just, it's her room, and who are you? I don't know who you are. But I don't think that it's uncomfortable or eerie because there's a black male and a white female come together for the first time meeting each other. In fact, I think it enhanced the relationship because you have these two polar opposite people from the outside and in coming together and actually finding a connection and actually, in the end, becoming friends with each other.
And are you allowed to talk about the music you like, or does that give away something?
Anthony is a jazz man, loves jazz. He plays the saxophone as well, and he definitely will go into depth about how the saxophone is amazing, the best instrument made for jazz, and how jazz is the actual way of the world, which is the quote of the show. But he loves jazz. His favorite is Coltrane. Love Supreme, which is actually really good song to listen to. About an hour long, so if you ever had time, you want to relax and just sit down and just take a break during the evening, Coltrane is the best. It's the way to go. The show really made me get into it.
Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
That they're in for a treat. Eyeing You is a comedy as well as drama and as well as coming of age. And I think all ages can relate to the story, teenagers or not.
Good point. Is Jim still there?
Yes.
Hey, Erica. Got a lot of great material there from those two.
Must be wonderful to work with them.
It's been a great time. You know, when we had selected the play and were doing the auditions for the internship, we did auditioning down in Philadelphia and with recent grads from around the area who would come to us. But when Bree and Dre applied for the internship and auditioned, we knew that they were perfect for the roles. And so I just want to, you know, commend their backgrounds and their spirit that they brought to the project.
Let me just ask you, Laura Hayden told us that NPR is coming.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, the office got an email or a phone call from Jeff London of NPR, and he's working on a piece on Lauren Gunderson, and in doing his research, discovered that our production of INU is the one that's closest to him at the moment. He lives in Brooklyn. So he's coming out here to see the final performance and will be interviewing some of us about the project for that piece. I'm not sure when the piece is airing. And, of course, as you know, when these pieces get put together, we may not even be in the final product, you know, how that all works. But anyway, it's exciting that he's coming out to see it.
It is, and it does say something about her status in American theater. Founding ensemble member James Good, one of the team who came together 40 years ago to found the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble, 2017-2018, a celebration of the 40th anniversary season. James Good, co-director for this production, and actors Bree Kifalo and Draylen Gore, speaking with us about I and You by playwright Lauren Gunderson, running at the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble the 18th of January through the 28th of January. Shows Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30, Sunday afternoons at 3. For more information on the web, bte.org, bte.org. That's the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble at the Alvina Krauss Theater, 226 Center Street in downtown Bloomsburg. And the show is I and You by Lauren Gunderson, and it is co-directed by James Good and Richie Canaday, and it is part of the BTE 2017-2018 season, featuring this year's interns, and they are Bree Kifalo and Draylen Gore. And again, the show's January 18th through January 28th, Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Sunday matinees at 3. For more information on the web, bte.org, bte.org.